back up, the half the CDs were gone.
I know. That
probably
sucked.
All of our shows that we did when we predicted.
I think all of the good ones are gone, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the. Although we predicted the end of the economy basically in every show, so that there's.
Well.
Those predictions are still there.
They are.
on tape.
We used to do predictions at the end of the show. Yeah. But there was a lot more to predict back then.
Yeah. Now we're living it.
Yeah, now, exactly. All right, so we're going to just do it. Right, we're in. We're doing the show. Okay, so this is what's left on May 14th, 2009. And we have a special guest in the house tonight. His name is Sam Tolles.
Hello, everybody.
Sam, if you podcast this, you'll see the description. The show started with Sam Tolles is The Other Side of Fair and Balance on killradio.org before there was podcasting.
We talked about podcasting back in those days.
We did. We talked about having a download.
We did. Download to own.
Yeah.
It's like a new media type of thing.
Yeah, back then.
And now you're doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
Good. So.
Wait. Everyone else. Yeah. So who else is here?
Steve is back.
And
I'm Katrina.
All right. So we're all in.
All friends.
Dr. K.
Dr. Katrina. Dr. Groovy.
So how does this work, Greg? What's the format since I'm.
It's the same format as last time. We just start talking randomly about politics. And
okay.
The week's events.
Well, why don't I start off since I kind of started us in the car, which is, you know, we obviously have the new president. And what I'm getting from a lot of my Democratic friends is this incredible amount of exuberism. The exuberance, and, you know, I've heard more times than I care to repeat, the Republican Party's over, it's done, we can never turn back. The world has changed.
Time magazine cover, endangered species.
Everything is pointing to the end. And all it reminds me of is my feeling when we did the last show, which was the end of the Democratic Party. And how many times did we and the pundits say that the Democrats were over and it was done? And at the end of the 2004 elections, when Bush said, I've got political capital and I intend to spend it, did the Democratic Party look disarrayed? Now, the Democratic Party still looks disarrayed in my mind, and I had a conversation today with a fellow liberal over breakfast, and she said, you know, please don't tell me that Obama is going to be the next Jimmy Carter. And it's, I really feel that Barack Obama will be one of two presidential mold models. He will either be Ronald Reagan or he will be Jimmy Carter. He will not be anybody else. I'm sorry he's not John Kennedy. You know,
and John Kennedy wasn't really all that anyway.
Well, that's why I say. I mean, I think Ronald Reagan was more impactful as a president than Kennedy was. So regardless of his politics, I think what Obama has that Reagan had was an ability to give the country a confidence. And so as we start this journey, it does remind me of the last major recession, which was the 1981-82 recession that kind of started.
Very severe recession
that began to end in 83 due to massive government deficit borrowing. And, you know, and of course my cell phone would go off in the middle of
important calls.
And Reagan came out in 84 and it was morning in America again and changed the entire landscape by deficit spending his way to glory. Obama seems to be, I think, on the same path. It is almost impossible to believe that $1.8 trillion worth of yearly deficit spending will not in some manner, shape, or form jumpstart the American economy. So I think that there's a possibility that there's a Reagan model to be seen. But he is somewhat cerebral, and I don't know, there is that possibility with him to go down the Jimmy Carter road of trying to do too much, trying to be too hands-on with too many things, and losing that. I mean, remember, Carter was extraordinarily popular in his first, you know, 6 months as president.
Right.
Depends on who you talk to.
He was extraordinarily popular. He was Mr.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just saying it depends on who you talk to.
Katrina's parents are, Katrina's dad was director of OMB for Reagan.
Okay.
So Katrina's familiar with those who did not think Reagan was all that popular.
It's so funny how when you're immersed in that group of people, you think that that's what's going on everywhere, you know?
It is true, but I mean, from a general.
But if you look at it from a, like, just a polling perspective.
Oh, yeah. No, no. I take your point.
If you were in my family in the 80s, Reagan was certainly not a popular character, but.
Yep. I would imagine.
If you were a diehard Democrat in 2000, 2002, and 2004, George Bush was not a popular figure.
Correct. Correct.
Or if you were any thinking being.
So
yeah, I mean that his entrance into the political stage for me it ushered in a world of surreality that I don't feel we've left yet.
W's?
Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of feel it's a surreal world. I agree with you. When I see Obama, I can't quite process it yet. It's like Bush so altered the whole way that I looked at government and created a paranoia that I'm not like when Clinton came to office, I felt like, you know, new generation excitement. Yeah, yeah. And now I just feel like, is this really happening or am I just being set up for something bad?
Yeah, I'm ready for the fall.
Well, he's going to have, I mean, he can't just go straight up. He's going to have to deal with something. He's
gonna torture stuff might start to do.
Well,
it.
The torture stuff, I think,
is going
to
torture stuff is really interesting. And I love the Cheney family torture.
Oh, my God.
These people. You know,
it's amazing.
He and his daughter Liz traveling the country talking about how important torture is to maintain American values. It is. I mean, that's what I'm saying about the surreality. I'm like, our former vice president continues to talk about how torture was useful to maintaining safety and integrity.
But the CIA denied him to open up that memo that
they
knows about.
Well, here's the question, and this was a question that we often asked frequently on the other side of Fair and Balanced when Bush was president, which is, does a terrorist attack help or hurt the president?
Right, and up until 2006, it helped.
I think all the way through. I think if it happened in 2007,
I agree.
I think no. I think
only reason he wasn't lynched.
It energized his presidency. It gave his presidency reason. Let's not forget that up until 9/11, he was a joke, literally a joke on the international stage. His presidency had no direction. He spent half the time chopping wood and doing strange photo ops. And
Reagan did that for his entire presidency.
Well,
himself.
But Reagan had an air of gravitas or leadership or inspiration to him.
Reagan had a je ne sais quoi that was
right.
He made Americans after losing confidence in the presidency because of Nixon, Ford's bumbling, and Carter's ineptitude. Reagan kind of brought America back to that Kennedy-esque. We're number one, Top Gun.
Plus, Reagan.
Why do we need that?
Why do we as a nation need that?
Why do we as a nation need that when we are morally no better than anyone else?
Because we are American.
Well,
I don't get it.
The nation, when it came to Reagan, was facing a lot of intractable issues or seemingly intractable issues. You know, Carter saying set your thermostats lower was trying to address energy, was trying to do all these things, right? Mm-hmm. And Reagan allowed part of his. Of what he sold everyone was you don't have to set your thermostat at 68 or 62. You can
this
set it at 90.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think, and we ate
think
that
big.
Up.
That's psychology, but I'm talking about the psychology that needs that.
Well, the United States in 1979? You're talking
about States, period.
No, I understand. The question I think you're asking, and it's a good one, but I think again, we were talking in the car on the drive over here about we don't have a manufacturing base. We don't have anything other than kind of blatant consumerism, and yet our economy is still better in better shape than Japan's. I think the whole – what is America, if you take the essence of that entrepreneurial, you know, we are always the best, and if we're not, we've got to get to be the best. If you take that away from America, we just aren't anything. I mean, it is what defines us as a nation is that drive, and the drive comes from this certain instilled belief in Americans that they are special, that each individual American is special, whether it's right or wrong, and there are consequences to that attitude. I mean, I think that you know people like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Come from that, you know, people who have nothing and grew up in the Depression and built, you know, a personal fortune and did what they did in large part because of that American spirit, as it were. But the problem is it is created for Americans in the international context, obviously, problems. We are seen as this arrogant, bully giant in the room. And quite frankly, from my perspective, my stepmother's Canadian, and we have this argument all the time. Thank you. She said to me many times that you know the United States has done no good in the world, and you know we should let the UN handle foreign policy. I said, okay, so you're going to let the UN AKA the Europeans deal with foreign policy like they did in the Balkans and Serbia. I mean, it is, you need to.
Like they did so successfully during World War One and World War II.
Yeah, exactly. You need to, the United States, while we have blundered terribly in our foreign policy, has been a force for good in the world. And quite frankly, from the perspective of an American taxpayer and living in a country that has massive debt, being the world's cop is a costly position. Yeah. It is a unsustainable position, and it is one which I would more than happily relinquish to the Chinese, the Indians, or anyone else who would take it.
Who are not going to take that
Chinese
position.
Will not take it. They have enough internal strife, and I think India could probably arguably be put in the same category.
But also, China's foreign policy right now is to co-opt resources worldwide. They go into nations for resources and make deals to get those resources. That's the thrust of their foreign policy, and they don't care what happens. They don't care who gets macheted down in
the
Sudan.
That's been the thrust of our foreign policy.
I agree with you, but I mean, they're never going to take on Kosovo. They won't do that. That's not what they're going to do ever.
And again, to your point though, that I think Greg brings up something very interesting. If the United States did not have that moral certainty, it could not take on issues like Kosovo. If we didn't feel that we were morally superior and we're number one,
right,
we wouldn't have any interest in that.
But we also pick and choose, so let's not get too...
No. I agree, yeah. But I'm saying that just another answer to that question, which I think is a very good one.
But I have some misgivings about it, because I think that it's sometimes overstated. I think that we need to be careful about where we put our noses. We claim to be moral, and oftentimes that's not really the reason.
No, I agree with you.
So
100%.
I get worried by that because when that zealotry starts, sometimes it's easy to keep
going
in a direction.
I don't think anybody in this room would think, or probably many people listening would think that the United States' foreign policy is moral. But what I'm saying is that
I'm not saying it's all immoral either. But I worry about the tendency to get caught up in superiority as a reason for doing things.
From the perspective of a taxpayer and an American, I mean, I would be perfectly happy to become like France. I mean, if France is our next step on the evolutionary chain, which is a once great country who in its mind still believes it great yet doesn't pay for anything and lives pretty much in its own bubble of being great without anybody giving it any credence, but it doesn't care because it's France.
And you find them obnoxious as well. There's just no teeth to the whole thing.
No, but I mean, but it's great. You know, but can you see America in that role?
The idea
of a country who thinks of itself as being incredibly important and morally superior and artistically and culturally.
I think we're
going to
be more like England. I think we're going to be England. We're going to be a country that retains a certain amount of its amassed wealth. Our top 2% will keep its amassed wealth and its fingers in the pot around
and
the world.
And the main importance because of just the traction. I mean, a financial center like London still has more billionaires than anywhere else in the world.
I mean, the one thing the U.S. has that's integral going forward are two things. One is it's still the largest market, the largest one whole market for anything.
Correct.
And two, we're proving right now that if the U.S. is in trouble and it defaults on its debts, everyone else is in worse trouble.
Correct.
So the beauty of it is we kind of like stuck ourselves right at least between 1 and 5 we're always going to be in the top powers
true
of the world.
True enough.
But I mean getting back to I got what topic were we on? Was it terrorism and what's going on now?
No,
the Chinese?
Does a terrorist attack?
Right, so let me get on
hurt
this.
Hurt Obama, because now the common wisdom in the punditry, just to put preface to my question, is that all of this rigmarole that the Bushies are doing to cement Bush's legacy, and that they keep saying, we didn't have an attack, 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 is all a setup so that when there's an attack, Obama's presidency will be damaged. I'm personally of the mind that an attack does not damage Obama's presidency, it cements it further.
The attack, it depends on how the attack comes and what the attack is. The bottom line
is... how it's addressed.
What's that?
And how it's addressed.
I think that's exactly the first 24 hours afterward.
Right.
Remember now, before Bush jumped up on the rubble with the megaphone, his first 24 hours he was
bumbling idiot, bumbling like he was in Katrina. But what I was going to say was that doesn't matter because you get up on the rubble, you wave a flag, and the American people.
Well, the thing is, the question is, does the egghead do that? Does Obama, being the brainy egghead, do that, or how does he handle it?
He's not afraid of
destroying human life.
No, he's not. Life.
Afghanistan is
notwithstanding. Well, this is my take on it.
Although I
think
it seems that he's going to be limited there. I think Congress may stop him from having a long term.
This Congress
This is a big thing I wanted to bring up this week was Afghanistan. But to answer your question, Bush, a terrorist attack after Katrina hurts Bush because Bush was revealed to be a fool, an inept fool who didn't care, who appointed appointed cronies. It was a thing that destroyed his presidency. Yeah. Nothing else did. No facts, no tell-all books could hurt that guy until Katrina. And once that happened, he never came back.
It was all there for us to see on television. Yeah. I remember the great interview with Soledad O'Brien with the head of FEMA. And he kept saying that they didn't know. She said, well, why don't you take a look at this? And she handed him a very thick dossier. He said, where did you get this information? She said, my intern put this together for me.
Right.
And so this was the kind of disconnect that we were experiencing from that regime. I don't know how they can excuse themselves.
But when that happened, he was done, and another terrorist attack would have hurt him. Remember, think about it. 2006 was the worst year in Iraq in terms of U.S. soldiers' death and things just spiraling out of control.
There was an interesting thing that just came out that I caught on Oberman right before I came, right before you picked me up, was apparently now that the surge may have been a red herring.
Which surge?
The
surge
in
Iraq.
Of troops. Apparently,
counterinsurgency strategy.
Apparently, the real story, and this again is I may have gotten the wrong information, but this from what I could glean from listening to it in the background as I was getting ready to leave my apartment was that the deal with the Sunnis is what calmed everything down.
Right.
And the surge, and we could have done that deal in 2003, but they didn't want to do it. And so the surge was kind of happened simultaneously, but it was more, you know, getting the Sunnis on board that quelled the violence and calmed things down.
Right. And now you're seeing strategic sectarian violence aimed at stirring up the pot.
Yep.
And it's working.
Correct.
And because of something we talked about on the show last week, because of swine flu, 180 deaths in Iraq just go by without barely a note.
I think honestly the American public is I'm actually a tad bit surprised that Obama went into Afghanistan since you wanted to talk about Afghanistan.
Yeah, well that's the one. That's the thing to talk about this week.
I'm not so surprised by it, but go ahead.
I don't get the political motivation there.
There's none.
Well, except
none.
We talked about this a little last week, too, and it's not so much political motivation, I think, and I think it's the military advisors. They're the same military advisors. They're still focused on the fact that we haven't taken care of Afghanistan in the way it should have been taken care of a long time ago, and I think that's why he's following kind of a similar path Afghanistan as Bush.
The bigger problem, I mean, the problem, as I understand, I mean, you know, Greg and I have a long history. We've watched the Vietnam documentary, which I'm not going to recap other than if you haven't seen Vietnam and Television History, go out and get the DVDs. It's even worth $70 if you can find them. At Amoeba, I think it's $70. And yeah.
You can get them for like $50 online.
The best 11 hours you will ever spend watching television.
I swear to God. I give them out like candy. Like every year I give a couple of those away.
It's the greatest birthday gift I've ever received. Greg gave it to me for my birthday a couple of years ago. And I've watched it. Like I bring friends over, they watch it, and people are interested. It shows how, to your point, that the military advisor can make a decision and it can just keep spiraling out of control.
Right,
Fog
exactly.
of War is another great example of a film that's only an hour and a half if you want to skip the Vietnam thing. But I think the real issue is not Afghanistan, it's Pakistan. And the reason it's Pakistan is because of the nuclear warheads exist in Pakistan and the relative instability. So if I'm Obama and if I understand Obama, which I do to some extent, I think Afghanistan is somewhat of a red herring. Obama is really there to keep an eye on Pakistan so that nuclear weapons do not fall into the hands of...
The problem is he's killing too many people in Afghanistan by accident for it not to be about Afghanistan. If it were just going to be a place to launch attacks if needed on Pakistan, he wouldn't be bombing whole neighborhoods. They're actually trying to do... I think he's trying to take the same advisors and apply a smarter military philosophy, one that the Bush administration refused to do. Smarter in his mind, in Obama's mind. And I think that...
And
I mean,
the rebuilding is part of that.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't surprised. He kept saying that in the campaign, we're going to get out of Iraq to get into Afghanistan.
Yeah,
Afghanistan.
Exactly.
But what's, the, but he's what's planning the political it. Payoff there?
There is no... The political payoff is if he does it right in his world. If we achieve some form of... Al-Qaeda, you know...
Victory.
Yeah, like some sort of victory over Al-Qaeda. The most analysts say Al-Qaeda has been weakened. We've bombed the shit out of the ungovernable regions. And,
Osama bin Laden actually gets taken down.
Yeah, gets killed or
that'd
yeah,
be
no,
huge.
Something. That, be that is what huge. That's all... That's the political gain. Mm-hmm. But I do think that he thinks that engaging them, it's part of the... no one's ever said this. It's probably like the Bush philosophy. Fight them over there before you have to fight them over here.
Right.
I think by engaging them in the ungovernable region between Pakistan and Afghanistan, he feels like he's keeping them... You know,
contained.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a possibility.
The problem is this goes back to stuff we talked about back in the day, which was once we got into Iraq, I personally couldn't see how you get out. How do you leave a country to collapse? There is no room for failed states in this world, even though they're all over the place. And Afghanistan proved to be a deadly failed state. If you believe that Al-Qaeda launched its masterminding and planning from Afghanistan for 2001.
As opposed to Saudi Arabia.
As opposed to Saudi Arabia, as opposed to, you know, some people believe that it was an inside job from the military-industrial complex, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the point being is...
Well, Saudi Arabia is more plausible since that's where most of the hijackers were from.
Right. So...
And the funding.
Here's the... I mean, the broader point is this, which is our Secretary of State has an enormous task, which is to get the Palestinian state established. And
yes.
I think that's your first step.
Right.
And once you do that, and like we talked about years ago, and build that state and give them appropriate funding, which is not going to be popular because no one wants to give money. Foreign aid is the least popular. You know,
they don't want to enable the Palestinians to have an economic machine that could turn around and buy weaponry that they could then just arm up, wait 5-10 years, and then attack Israel. I mean, that's the basics of it. The idea of keeping them nurturing on the teat of Israel is that they're always... They're subject to economic repression. They can't just go out and get some serious weaponry. But, I mean, look, I mean, this week, the Obama administration, the last 2 weeks, have made some pretty serious indications that they're going to push Israel that into a two-state solution. They're going to push Benjamin Netanyahu into it.
Which will be no small feat.
It is my belief, weirdly enough, that some kind of bargain was made between the Clinton camp and the Obama camp to set her up for the succession, potentially.
For what?
To set her up?
To set her up for 2016.
Hillary?
Oh, Hillary. Yeah.
You're talking about old Hillary running after 8 years of Obama?
I'm talking about...
You're talking about Grandma Hillary running?
I'm talking about Margaret Thatcher Hillary running.
Maybe.
Or, you know,
I don't think Hillary makes it through the second term.
I certainly... Well, you don't...
Oh, I don't know. She's an animal.
I don't think she makes it through the second term.
No, what she do?
First of all, there never been an eight. I don't think there's ever been an 8 year.
It doesn't. Secretary of State. She have to leave for 2 years to plan the campaign, so she's out within.
She's out the midterms.
Midterm election, but what I'm saying is, you certainly don't have a VP who's going to succeed anything other than dog catcher.
Where is he?
Joe Biden.
Put him in the garbage can. He's a useless piece of ass.
He is now occupying the underground bunker that was formerly occupied.
He was supposed to be such a foreign policy guru. He's supposed to save us.
The only thing that Biden has done is cost us a Senate seat in 2 years.
Because he got out of...
Because Castles is going to take that seat, and we're going to lose it.
So what do you all think about Dick Cheney's... You know, sudden, you know, appearance in the limelight in a way that he never,
I think he's
doing, did when he was.
He's doing the heavy lifting for the party. The only strategy for that party right now is a terrorist attack.
His fear.
And he's the guy to do it.
Which is why it goes back to the original question is.
Terrorist attack hurts Barack Obama straight up, unless his first 24 hours afterwards is decisive.
Is anyone listening to Cheney, though?
No.
Yes,
is anyone worried by him?
He's got a very...
By the way, there's something that I always wanted to...
The same base that Rush Limbaugh has.
No, but he's all over the place, dude. He's making more news on the left-wing shows than he is on the right-wing shows.
Of course, because they hate him.
But let's play this out, though. Let's play it out, which is there's a terrorist attack. It's more significant than 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Obama's dinged.
Okay, it's more significant than 9/11. How do you, in a time of mourning when the country is stunned and shocked by a more significant than 9/11 attack the president?
Which party are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking about the Republican Party. They are the party that would do that.
I'm saying that they would do it. I'm saying, how does that politically benefit them? I think there's a huge
backlash. That doesn't matter.
They are the party that would do
that. Don't think of it
that way. We're attacking the day after the freaking inauguration.
It's moral to them.
The Democrats roll over.
It's a moral biblical
statement. Dick Gephardt delivers the House Democrats. That's what the Democrats do. The Republicans go recalcitrant hard, and they possibly gain on that.
Look,
are you kidding me?
What I see,
there are guys out there saying that
I do have to say that if there's an enormous terrorist act,
it is the wrong
the man
political
is able to guide us through the situation to some.
The problem is
you have to let the thing play out.
The problem,
yeah,
you're right, and they
first
won't
24
do it.
Hours.
They won't do it. They will not. It won't be the first 24. It's
look.
The country was in a state of shock for 2 months after 9/11, and you start shouting at the president who's sitting there.
Oh, we
with
saw.
The,
yeah.
With the, you. He's sitting there in the funerals with the mourning people. He's going up there giving his eloquent speech about America and our will to survive.
Okay.
And the GOP's attacking. BS. I call BS. The Republican Party right now reminds me again of another party that I'm very familiar with in the 1980s when they didn't understand what the hell was going on. The liberal right. Democrats could not get their hands and head around Ronald Reagan, and they kept using old lines and old school thought process.
Too many. I feel like the GOP is
true.
Doing now.
Two
yeah,
things. You're on two different tracks here. All right.
That's not.
If you're talking about domestic policy, if you're talking about domestic policy, they can't understand how to handle Obama, and the congressional Democrats are still
politics.
That party. They're still that
they're
party.
Still a party. I agree.
Right, so now, if you're going to talk about a terrorist attack, Obama has made it very clear that he is the economic president. He hasn't really talked foreign policy for his whole time in office. He's making sure that he's branded the economic president, focused like a laser beam.
Though
and
everybody in the punditry says his foreign policy is much more successful thus far than his domestic policy.
Well, of course, because his domestic policy is almost like throwing money at a tidal wave. It's not going to change anything for quite some time.
It's going to take a while.
But the thing about it is, if the attack comes to the economic president, and he seems like an economic president that let us get attacked, the Republicans got an in.
I don't think they do. I think Obama responds. I think he responds in a way that makes people cry. And I think,
by the way,
if Bush can get up on the rubble and say his gibbery Jew and have his,
it's pretty soon everyone's
and have
hear
his
us.
Photograph
mm-hmm.
with of surveying 9/11 from the plane that he was signing, which was politically the most crass thing I've ever seen in my life, selling the photograph of 9/11. You don't think Barack Obama can handle a terrorist attack in a politically feasible way? I think that this whole setup in their mind. In the Republicans' mind is if we're attacked again for whatever reason that they're going to come back to power.
I
think it's wrong.
And Dick Cheney's going to come back. Now, let me throw something in there for the mix. I waited for 8 years for the CIA to turn on Bush because he kept saying it was faulty intelligence when he lied about the intelligence. He kept saying it's all the CIA's really fault because they gave me faulty intelligence when he made the whole case up for going to war. And you know what? They never dimed on him. And you know, in the last week, they turned on Nancy freaking Pelosi. They turned on Nancy. The establishment is behind him. So if there's an attack, who knows? The CIA might leak some stupid thing that makes it look like Obama was looking the other way.
Just
Nancy
like,
Pelosi is
like
in a world
that,
of fucking hurt right now.
No, she's not.
She is. She's lying and talking out of both sides of her mouth.
I'm not sure if she's lying or not. But
I was briefed. I wasn't briefed. When I was briefed, I was told it was extreme. Okay, so I heard water, but I didn't
but
know
Nancy
it was
Pelosi,
actually water.
They told me that they weren't doing that.
Is like,
that's what
Nancy
it's up
Pelosi
to now.
Is like
so
Miss California. She's got her detractors. She's got her supporters. She's generally a ditz that we should ignore. What I'm saying is George Bush had memos. Bin Laden determined to strike the United States. Does that sound familiar to anyone? And the media will not let them do it. They will not. It is not going to happen this time,
President.
You can't. If Bin Laden determined to strike the U.S. is the biggest leak possible. Like, that's it's like right on paper.
Well,
that didn't have
destruction which
and,
never found.
And it had no impact on George W. Bush. And I think a terrorist attack. We have always had this disagreement. After 2006, you said a terrorist attack would hurt Bush. I believe a terrorist attack would have helped him all the way to the end. I was afraid of a terrorist attack up to the day of the election that it would have pushed
McCain. In 2008.
I agree with you. I think it would have justified the ongoing fear and paranoia that they were creating in the country. and it would have vindicated everything they'd said.
Yeah, and
so
it,
I think
see, if you want to talk about what's the political benefit of going into Afghanistan, or what's the political benefit of Dick Cheney going out there and being the doomsayer, planting the seed for attacking Obama when there's a terrorist attack, my question is, why pick this fight with them by releasing the goddamn terror memos to begin with? There is no one clamoring for these freaking memos. The only people who wanted
Dick
to hear
Cheney
them,
is.
No, but no, the memos that the Obama administration released was, I guess, in some way to appease the left wing of the party, which already hates him for being in Afghanistan and bombing the shit out of Afghanistan already. He half measures it and pisses them off.
No, it is the biggest mistake that this administration has made politically. It was the worst, the torture debate from a, and remember, when I talk, I have no morality. My morality is James Carville's morality. I don't give a shit unless my party wins. And I don't care about policy. I care about winning. And I care about keeping power for my party.
Right.
So
this is exactly the mentality that frightens me.
Because...
From the other side.
Because of this. Because I believe in my heart and heart and soul of soul that the Democratic Party, as bad as it is and as many flaws as it has and as corrupt and awful and incompetent as these people are in the House and Senate and in the White House to some extent, that they have my values and my interests more closely aligned than the crazy loons on the other side of the aisle who, if they get back into power, will do more damage like they did for the 8 years that Bush was in presidency and the 6 years that they controlled the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and the untold amount of damage that their Supreme Court will do until we finally get a switch.
Until we're lucky one of them dies.
One of them dies in like a heart attack or something. You know.
Untimely early death.
Oh my God. We didn't talk about the absurd overreaction to the Wanda Sykes comments that press.
Oh, dude. I think that she put him in a bad spot.
What are you talking
about?
She put him in a bad spot.
Because you know why? Every time I see that on a Republican show, they cut to him smiling at that joke.
It's a great joke.
It's the worst joke.
It's a fantastic joke.
I'm going to go see Lisa Lampanelli tomorrow, and I guarantee you she's going to say a lot more things.
Yeah, but she's not at the fucking correspondence dinner. She's not at the correspondence dinner.
Do you care? Oh my God. When do these people get... it's Rush Limbaugh.
All right, time out. Just for anyone who might not have heard this quote, during the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where everyone goes up as a comedian, and it's emceed by a comedian, Wanda Sykes said
hoped that Obama's presidency
failed.
Would fail.
And she said that's unpatriotic.
And it sounds like something Osama bin Laden
might say. And she said
he's the 20th
hijacker. He was so doped up on Oxycontin he missed his flight.
I think that's fucking funny and very apropos.
Limbaugh.
How filthy of Rush Limbaugh to say that he hopes the president of the United States fails and we're shocked by her comments?
Yeah, it is.
He's the one that shocked
I think
that's
Juan,
treasonous.
Wanda Sykes.
Dude, I wanted Bush to fail from the second he won that disputed election.
Wanda Sykes.
I mean, I was afraid to say that.
Wanda Sykes is a silly distraction. But the blunder, which is
the
political blunder that they made, was stepping into the never step to the far left ever. There's no gain because the left wing is like the environmental movement. You know, in the environmental movement, and I'm somebody who believes in the environment. I believe in. I work for a company that's environmentally conscious. I do not use plastic bags now. I'm very much. But here's the problem with environmentalists. You do one thing and it causes another problem. And you do another thing and it causes, you know, I was saying to my aunt, who's a big environmentalist, I said, well, you know, now I only use paper products. I don't use plastic, and I try to, you know, not use anything. And she's like, well, that's fine, except when it gets in the landfill, it doesn't biodegrade anyway because it's all compressed.
Right.
So
which
I'm
is
like,
not necessarily
there's
true.
No winning with the environment. And with our left, it's the same, like, well, CFC light bulbs save energy and you burn less coal.
Lead.
But unfortunately, there's mercury and there's problems. If you get rid of your car and plug it in, oh my God, it's coal plants.
We've
got to
be growing up. There's going to be some freaking reaction.
What I'm saying is this. There is no winning. with the far left. They will always, it is their, in the same sense, there's no winning with the far right. You cannot go far enough. And right now, with the torture thing, what it's done is it's got those two loon sides yelling at each other from across the spectrum. You've got the far right going, we should be torturing everybody.
All the time.
All the time. And the left going, we should be playing daisies along the street, and Obama's a terrible individual for doing all this stuff. Well, and it's totally politically
extremes.
Unproductive. It's.
But I think that's where the far right wins, and I think it's because they are so together. Their message is so tight, and they're willing to torture anyone, including Americans.
Anytime,
I mean, they're so consistent.
Anytime you engage,
they're strong that way.
Far left in an argument with the far right, we always come up on the short end of the stick. And Obama has been, to this point, very good at keeping himself in the middle left, which is the way, which is the Bill Clinton way, which is the, you know, we are not the scary left. We are the let's find ideas. Let's not say that, you know, unions should get everything that they want and fuck big business. We have to say,
well, also
let's find an accommodation.
Let's country, not just the left.
Let's find
that's an
a compromise.
Thing to remember. He didn't take on the job just to please one faction or the other.
And he's a very good he's a good center left person. And
Obama
so
is.
Obama is.
But I'm sorry, I have to go back to this. Why are you so worried about a comedian's comments affecting the president?
I
think it's really overblown.
I just think that it was the stupidest. It's such a catchy phrase that every time someone hears about, I have a gauge, right? There's a person in my life that I use as a gauge as every person on the street who's not involved in politics but knows I talk about politics once a week, so they ask me questions. And they said, what did Wanda Sykes say again? And I went, oh, shit, you're asking about Wanda Sykes? How did it get to you?
I don't think
how did this get to you?
I agree.
Because E! Entertainment Television was playing it.
It hurts her among a certain demographic, and it doesn't matter.
And what's the demographic? That's the demographic that doesn't give a shit about a lesbian.
First of all,
comedian.
That's.
And she just had twins, too. Did you know that?
Yes, with her fiancé, who's a woman.
Right.
Listen, this is my thing.
Her constituency doesn't give a damn, and Rush Limbaugh can't hurt her. And you know what? Fuck
and she
Rush
can't
Limbaugh.
Hurt him.
First of all,
and
it's
she can't really.
It's that flamethrower rhetoric that you don't want to engage.
But, but get out of the punditry circle. Come on. That's a Washington, D.C. problem.
No. The problem is the Republicans get away with more flamethrower shit than the Democrats do.
Yes.
So if they
yes.
can point...
Yeah, this is a perfect example. No one's incensed by a talk show entertainer saying he wants the president of the United States to fail, but a comedian makes a few comments and it's a big deal. Excuse me. Let's put these things in perspective.
But who's going to have more impact in galvanizing the people who want to get galvanized on the right? This is my problem with
it. Yeah, but they're already galvanized.
Exactly.
You're not gonna worried about it. They already hate.
I don't think this changed anything.
They loathe Obama
Arizona State University can deny the president of the United States an honorary degree because they don't agree with his politics because it's a conservative. I mean, come on.
This is my take on it. If I have to hear how the left-wing class attacked George W. Bush, so why can't I attack Obama?
You can.
Again,
it's being Donald
it really
Trump.
Bothers
I'm
the crap
gonna,
out of me.
I'm actually going to take Greg's side for 2 seconds.
Thanks.
Oh, my God.
And I'm gonna use a different example.
Okay.
A more pertinent example, which raised my hackles on an issue that affects me personally. When Perez Hilton went on that crazy rampage on his blog about Miss California.
Mm-hmm.
The question that he asked was a reasonable question. Her answer was ditzy and stupid, and had that been the end of it, no problem. But then he went, she's a bitch, la, 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 looked like a child. And I thought, oh, my God, he's
Perez Hilton,
he's
though.
Giving
yeah, exactly.
Them,
he's
yeah,
a child.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He's giving – what Greg is saying is – don't give them anything to put in their gun.
Exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
I have to say that, you know,
and the Wanda Sykes one is a fucking scorched earth.
You know what?
Bullet.
Relax. Having balls here.
No
Let
way.
This comedian do what she wants to do. Perez Hilton needs to be put in perspective. I'm sorry. He's a gossip columnist, not a politician.
Yeah,
he's
but you know,
his opinion,
but in the mainstream, he represents the gay rights movement. That's reaching, but intellectually he's not, and we know that as a group of people who are sitting here that are fairly well educated. But to a group of people who don't know nothing.
I don't think they know who he is.
But that's exactly
beyond
the
like
point.
California.
Nobody knows who he is. He is like to mainstream Americans. Perez Hilton is the example of the gay liberal, you know.
Bitch.
I think it's more just a blip. It's like they hear about it and they don't know who he is. And they're like,
No, it's going on and on and on because now it's become a
I've heard from
this girl that her nude photos have come out, even though she pretends to be a Christian, and then now there's pictures of her hooking up with someone else. I mean, it's a mess.
I mean,
for me, I think the responsibility lies with the general public. If you take an entertainer and put them on a pedestal and think that their opinion is as significant as a well thought out politician's or even an intelligent pundit's, then that's your problem.
And Ronald Reagan's.
I'm just saying that Swana Sykes allowed them to say something really horrible back.
Good. So what?
It's not good.
At this time, I don't think it's a chink in the armor. Right now, Obama is Mr. Invincible.
Yeah.
Think that.
Well, I mean,
Sykes' comments are her own comments. He didn't say them.
I'm telling you, someone will say something that's fucking dreadful, they'll get away with it because Juana Sykes said that.
Can I bring up something though that's more interesting and it goes back to the torture thing, which is a different celebrity on the right wing that said something that was crazy. Who said that Sean Hannity said that he is willing to be waterboarded.
Immediately the Countdown guy offered him $1,000 for every minute.
$1,000 a second.
From the beginning?
For every second that he is waterboarded,
Keith Olbermann would give $1,000 to
the charity that Hannity picked.
Of Hannity's choosing.
I can't wait to see this.
And
he won't do it now, which is brilliant. Who is crazy enough to volunteer to be waterboarded?
Think you're not going to get called on it?
See, outside of Dick Cheney's campaign.
I think Juana Sykes waterboarding, it's all kind of ridiculous. I mean,
I guess.
I think it's old. I think, Greg, you're still reacting to pre-Obama times, which we could come back to those very easily, but until my heart sinks and goes, oh God, that was actually a direct
Afghanistan
hit.
Afghanistan and Iraq are going to be that. There's a guy in Iraq that went berserk and killed four Americans. Killed four Americans.
No one cares about Iraq.
I'm telling you, the day that in that documentary series, there is a statistic. In 1969, 6 months into Nixon's presidency, the average American thought he started the Vietnam War.
Right. A very different era.
I'm saying
not so different.
People are even less informed now. I think they're probably going to think that. Afghanistan.
The point being is that these will be his wars, and these are no-win situations.
They're already his wars.
He inherited the wars, but the problem is this: literally, with respect to Afghanistan, because he has taken a little more ownership. But on Iraq, it's like, I mean, I acquire movies for a living. If somebody comes to me and says Iraq or George Bush, I say forget it. No one's going to buy that DVD. No one is interested. People, when it comes to Iraq, they put their hands over their eyes. They put their earplugs.
Oh, they tuned it
out.
It's gone.
They turn it off. Yeah. They don't. Doesn't matter how bad it is. You'd have to have a nuclear weapon go off and kill a million people in Iraq before even registered in the American.
In the '60s, I mean, don't forget. In the '60s, you had uncensored news footage on single day.
Well, there's
and attacking the sensibilities of America. What was that? 40 years ago.
Yes. But there's always, they use that as a statistic for every president who takes over another president's problem. In so many months, it's his economic situation.
As far as I'm concerned, it was his before he got there.
I guess.
We knew this. He was campaigning on these issues.
Right. Well, yeah.
They're his. They're absolutely his.
I agree.
And there can be no more discussion of an inheritance. They belong to him now.
I think they go back to every president in like modern times. These issues, they just keep coming, you know, up and down and up and down. And it's like, I think we're starting to understand how far back these go. And it's not a matter of this president or the last president. It's like the last 10 presidents.
Yeah. Then if you talk about the Middle East, we have those things have roots that go back into the last century.
On the plus side, I think what he's doing is multiple things. He's really trying to get at some solutions in the political sphere, in the diplomatic sphere. I think he's really trying to get something going in Israel and Palestine. He's going to
he hired the right person.
Final stage issues.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He hired the right person to get that done.
Well, yeah, and they got like two envoys going in. Is George
Ma Clinton is working?
Isn't
Ma Clinton is doing her thing?
Yeah, and also though, isn't that the one where George? No. The guy from Maine, George. He brokered the George Mitchell. Isn't he in Israel?
He's in Israel too.
Yeah, I mean you can't. You're throwing some pretty big powers at that. He's trying to do something with South Korea. He's trying to do something south of North Korea. I mean, like, he's definitely trying to get to some solutions on another level.
But again, early on, because, you know, a lot of these, like, most presidents focus on Israel.
It is.
The end.
It is.
I disagree with his criticism of Bill Clinton, and I agree with Bill Clinton when he got really pissed off during the campaign with Barack Obama. Bill Clinton did not turn up the heat on the Israel Palestinian negotiations in his last term. He turned it up, but he was engaged from the second he got there. He inherited Poppy Bush's last minute start.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he took it and he kept going with it. I mean, he had the 1994 handshake.
Yep.
On the front on the South Lawn, yes, or whatever. Was it was 1994. So I mean, he wasn't the guy who did it. What he did was blow the fucking situation up by doing a fevered pitch for a final settlement that didn't work and just started the intifada in seconds and just left the Palestinians frustrated. Whereas Obama's just trying to get right to it.
But I mean, what Obama's doing, whether it's the economy, healthcare, or foreign policy, it's the Lyndon Johnson scenario. You have basically Lyndon Johnson, everything he did, and as I've mentioned many times before, LBJ comes a close second in my book for greatest modern-day president next to FDR for what he accomplished for the United States. I mean, you're talking about Medicare and Medicaid, Great Society, public television. I mean, the list is insane, and it goes on and on. And it was all done in the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act.
It was all done in one term.
All done in 1964 and 1965.
Yeah.
All of it.
I know.
And from 66, 67, 68...
He was consumed by...
He was... It doesn't matter which president it is. Reagan did everything that he accomplished
team has studied what you do with a presidency.
Oh, yeah.
Which is essentially get it all done in the first two or three years and then just manage the rest of the events for the rest...
Correct. Because, you know, Clinton's... The one thing that he did was the Economic Reconciliation Act of 1993, which got us on our way to paying down the debt. All that was done in the first 2 years.
Yeah, with one vote from Al Gore, by the way.
And that poor woman.
Carol Moseley Plant?
No. Not Senate. The House district in Pennsylvania who gave the House vote in.
And then she lost
her seat.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You know what's funny is you touched on stuff we've done on the show this year, which is one of our features was, is he Reagan or Carter? That was like the early part of the show. And then there was a whole
Johnson
show.
Or Johnson or FDR.
Then there was a whole show that was dedicated to FDR or LBJ. And I mean, honestly, to get back to what you're saying, what he's got right now, forget about his policy and forget about how they're executing. He has that Reagan-like Teflon. He has that Reagan-like ability.
He's got Reagan
to be above.
And FDR. I mean, FDR just had the same kind of persona. I mean, Johnson never had a great persona. That was he's not Lyndon Johnson in the sense. Lyndon Johnson... The one thing I will tell you, if you're going to say is that Johnson is at FDR, there's no question. He's FDR. And the reason is Johnson basically grabbed the balls of the senators and congresspeople and shoved them down the throat. It's like, you will do this. I mean, Barack Obama, for for all the great things he is and the way I think he resembles a lot like FDR, the one thing he's not got under control is the Democrats in Congress.
I know.
Are running around like complete fucking idiots.
They're a disaster.
But they always are. They always have been. They always will be. They're a terrible, terrible ragtag group of morons. Every last one of them. as were the GOP in Congress. I mean, it just seems like...
The GOP
and
is
by the
still
way,
a better
Arlen Specter should not be elected...
Re-elected
senator.
Yeah, I think Sestak's going to run against him.
And I gave Sestak money for his run in 2006 for Congress, and I will give Sestak money for his Senate run, because I think Joe Sestak went to a very liberal friend of mine, wealthy liberal friend of mine's house, and said, my district, they don't have houses like this. They don't have people that think like you. But I'm just going to tell you honestly, this is what I believe personally. And he is a good, solid, moderate Democrat. And that's what we need in the United States. Arlen Specter is an opportunist who, you know, should be ousted.
Who's a Republican?
Yeah.
Who is a Republican?
And will continue to be a Republican.
He hasn't given us one Goldman.
He's done nothing but
no, he said he was rooting for Coleman.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That was unbelievable. That alone. By the way, what is... Just be done with that.
supposedly
Crazy Franken.
The FBI is looking into some improprieties in Norm Coleman's campaign spending.
That's fine, but we just need the Franken to come in, because Franken would be hilarious.
When is that going to be done?
We need Franken.
They're
going to
drag it out for the first year of the term.
Jeez. Good
They'll
Lord.
They'll drag it as long as they can. As long
How
as
can that be possible? Aren't there rules to elections?
They're
going to
they're
get
gonna,
things decided?
The governor has to sign.
They're going
to
lose in the Supreme Court of Minnesota, and then they're going to take it to the Supreme Court.
If Minnesota's Supreme Court unanimously rules in favor of Franken, I think Pawlenty has to sign the certificate.
Well, that's the only thing that would stop this, is if Tim Pawlenty feels, because he's running for 2012, too. And, yeah.
He's got to weigh the idea of Minnesota's a key state, which,
right,
in electoral terms, as
right,
governor, he doesn't want to lose his own state.
Right, exactly.
So, do I take those 12 electoral votes, or do I want a primary win? And probably, I think he's delayed it long enough that he won't get too much ding for signing the election certificate.
He's played it down the middle.
Yep.
And he's definitely running, because I've seen him on Rachel Maddow, and he does a really good job of pretending to be
there's,
a moderate.
There's one Republican that Obama's terrified of, and that is the governor of Utah.
Who's that?
John Huntsman, I think his name is.
Really?
He is a...
He's terrified of him?
Well, as, like, the person that they don't want to run again in a general, because he's somehow a moderate... He's not moderate, but he's come out in favor in Utah of, like, civil unions, gay marriage, like, he won't...
In Utah?
In
That's
Utah.
Quite amazing.
And somehow maintains a 70% approval rating among the crazy conservatives. So he's got this ability to go down
wow.
the middle without offending the right.
See, I don't think anyone who has a... I mean, it's too early to tell, but I don't think anyone is going to gear up to go up against Obama in 2012.
And I don't think
extrapolate
that. I
will say
that.
One thing to that, to respond to that. Mm-hmm. In 1991, at the end of the Gulf War, who in the world would have challenged George H.W. Bush? Who
all
in
the
world?
All the guys who had it, who ran races in 1998 didn't run them.
In 1988, mm-hmm. they were all out.
Yeah, all 1988.
Billy Boy, Arkansas, Hick, yeah. Governor Clinton came roaring in. Governor, small state.
That's true.
Out of nowhere.
That's true.
Huntsman,
exactly
governor.
Out of nowhere, though.
Governor, small state. He gave the worst keynote of any Democratic convention in 88.
He was applauded to get off the, when yeah. he got off the. In summary,
in,
or whatever.
In conclusion, was
it was like an hour and 15 minutes long or something?
What the Democrats need is another Pamela Harriman. That's who brought them all together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Miss Pamela.
That's true.
She's better than Palin.
No one is better than Palin. Palin.
We'll see what her book says.
Palin truly was the greatest comedy I think I've ever seen.
I think she's going to come on strong. I think she's going to be the one to beat.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I think that it's possible that Palin. Look, Chris Matthews, who for some reason I have a weird liking of, I think Chris Matthews actually has some good political instincts.
Yeah.
Really likes, not likes Palin. He says, I don't like her, but she's got something.
She
outrocks toward Barack Obama in 2008.
Oh, for God's sake.
It doesn't mean she can get elected for anything.
But the other thing,
I want to see what her re-election looks like. That's going to be interesting.
If you want to address Sarah Palin, if you want to see whether she's going to be a viable candidate in 2012,
you just want to do her.
No, I don't.
Oh.
Actually, I don't. There are other MILFs out there that I would do, but it's how her book and book tour are handled will be the key to her rehabilitation.
That's already been started.
She really has not impressed.
She's fucking up her own party.
And so is
by
her
not showing up
family.
And stuff. And
no, but
saying
she's back and forth and in and out and yeah. weird
to,
statements
she
and
needs
stuff.
She needs to do her work in Alaska, too.
She could lose re-election.
I don't think she's got a chance in hell of losing re-election in Alaska.
She's polling under 50% now.
I don't know.
I would.
There are a lot of people in Alaska that are pissed off about her.
100 and a 10-1 that she doesn't lose.
I'd sure like to see her go down, though. I got
to
say,
I'd love to see that. I've never wanted anyone to be. I mean, if I could pick one human being in the world to be waterboarded, it would be her. She'd shoot right to not Cheney, not Bush. She is the person in politics that I loathe the most. I can't stand her. She just makes me crazy.
Yep.
She must.
Yeah, she does. Although I watched Glenn Beck last night for
He's
the first
impossible.
Time,
Ooh.
And I wanted to just throw the TV as far as I can.
So funny. I used to watch him like, you know, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago, and it's like he's a totally different person now.
He is a different persona.
He's
a different persona, and it was annoying as hell, and it was just lie after lie.
Does he want to become the next Rush or something? Is that
what's
going on here?
It seems like he wants to be like a comical version of the next Rush.
Yeah.
Which is like adding comedy to farce.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
All right, so it's 54 minutes, and we have to actually have a normal-sized show this week.
Well, that's all right.
Do we have... what is it? What do you do at the end? We always do predictions before.
You can do predictions.
Well, predictions were like, you know...
Which were all right, and I must say, it was incredible. Had Wall Street listened to our predictions, the country would have done a lot better.
You know, Charlie Rose had the head of TARP on, Bush's head of the TARP, who was kept on in the Obama administration. He said, we couldn't unwind it.
Way.
He said the only way to do it would be to keep housing prices inflated, and that we had already seen that there are two gauges, one which we all know, which is the income to average home price, but the other was rent to price was way out of whack, and they knew that they couldn't unwind it. There was no way to deflate it. There was no way to bring it back down. They were done. They knew that.
Well,
and then once the brakes fell off. They also said that they had discussed the plan that Obama and Geithner put out, which the auction with highly subsidized loans to buy the toxic assets back in the day. And he said, we were out of money. We were out of money, and the second $350 billion was waiting, and we just said, look, we're going to let the crisis occur
for the money to be unleashed.
Yeah. And he said, how did you come up with $700 billion? And he said, we looked at a bunch of different numbers, and we just assumed that would be the most we could get.
There was a great more recent episode of South Park, since we talked about South Park earlier, that I watched last night, where the government was making these decisions. I guess one of the kids' fathers had bought a Margaritaville mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he'd been done on payments, and the payments had been sold to all these different organizations. He's trying to return it, and he can't return it because no one knows who it is. And so he finally goes to the government, and the guys in suits say, we'll be right back. And they come, and they get a little bit of blood on them, and they're like, we have determined that your Margaritaville mixer is worth $16 billion. And he's like, what? And they're like, hold on a second. So he follows them in, and it's like this giant board, like this circular board with like spaces, and they just take a chicken and cut the chicken's head off and just wanders around. Where it lands is the decision that they make. It's like mail the bank out, let
South
it fail.
Park rocks.
I mean, it was like this ridiculous.
How did they keep their finger on the pulse?
I know, seriously. So I think, I mean, that's kind of where we are economically.
Let's do predictions on this. Do we see the Obama administration come back for another round of bailout funds?
Silence.
I know. That's one to ponder.
Not until they absolutely have to.
I'm talking about it's October, November, December. This economy seems to not be coming back up. The euphoria
you've got a prediction within a prediction. The first prediction is, does the economy rebound in the fourth quarter or no? And the second question
let's
is,
do that.
If the economy does not rebound in the fourth quarter, do they go back for
having months? Just seen the ugly face of the recession touch me yet one more time, I do not think it's rebounding in the fourth quarter. So I skip straight to, are they going to ask for more money?
I tend to think, in looking at the market, something is amiss. Like, we had lower unemployment numbers, but they still were
pretty high.
And it seems like there's a hiccup.
Consumer spending went down.
It's time. It's time. It's just, it's not going to come around in the fourth quarter.
The thing that was freaked them out about consumer spending was they expected consumer spending to go up, but cars to take it down, and it was the exact opposite. Consumer spending went down, but people actually bought more cars because there are so many deals on them.
Yeah.
Right.
And that freaked out a whole bunch of analysts because they're like, that's not the way it's supposed to go.
I'm not going to make any disparaging remarks about analysts.
Yeah.
No, all right, so let's do fourth quarter. Go around the room. I say no.
No.
I say no. I think things are going to be tough, but I'm going to say no.
And I think we kind of know that already. So I'm not worried about it not happening.
I think if you had asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have said we would have had an economic recovery by the fourth quarter. I am now feeling that is not the case.
That's exactly where I'm at. 2 weeks ago, last week, yes.
Not last
week, no.
Yeah. Last week, I felt like there was unnecessary exuberance in the market and something was wrong.
Okay, so then let me ask you this.
It's not until mid next year, and I don't think they're going to ask for any money until that point.
What's the unemployment rate in the fourth quarter?
I think by Q1 of 10, which is where I think the unemployment is going to max out at the end of Q1 in 10.
You're talking about March of next year.
March of 2010, I think we're going to max on unemployment. I think the number is going to be 82's number, which was 14.7%.
Damn. I was already at 11.
Doesn't take much to get to 14 from 11.
I don't think we have much more to go. I mean, I'll go with you on that number, but I don't think it's going to be much more.
15% reported unemployment, which is actually closer to like 23, 24% actual unemployment.
Yeah. And
at that point, California's done.
And I think we'll start having more jobs come out, but it's not going to happen before that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
That's pretty much the show.
So thank you for letting me
I feel really good.
Sorry.
I feel cleansed.
Sam, thanks for coming on the show.
I will do it again.
Good to see you, Sam.
Hopefully.
We'd love to.
We can do it more midweek.
Well, Steve, yeah, we can do a special recording.
More midweek than Thursday?
Steve is itching to get a Lion's Den match between a Republican and...
I can really?
The Thunderdome.
I want to do a few things. I want to get a really far left and a really far right person together in one room.
I think that would be very interesting. I can always play a Republican.
No, you can.
That's
you
what I tend
could,
to
right.
do.
I can.
Well, according to our listeners, we all do.
Yeah, that's true.
Our
listeners fucking rip us for being Reagan Democrats or Eisenhower Republicans. We actually have listeners.
I'm a third way Democrat.
Comments.
I am a third way Democrat. I'm not apologetic about it. If you want to ask me why,
they don't want to hear about it.
No, well, that's a whole other show.
They're going to come up with their own reasoning.
Is anytime you cite something that the Democratic Party does well, it's kind of like your example of you talk to an environmentalist and they just find the flaw in your argument.
I know. I must.
None of it's progress. Even if it's progress, none of it's progress.
I know. So anyway.
Which is cool. I'm happy that we have listeners who hate us.
I would love to come back and play the Republican on the
show.
No,
you'll be our moderate Democrat. Hey, when do you think, do you ever think... Chris, our Southern Republican, will be in town?
If he comes in town, I will definitely schedule. I'll let you know well in advance.
That would be the shit. All right. Thanks for listening.
Joe, thank you, guys.
See ya.
Is good radio.
Oh, yeah. Is good radio.
All right.
Don't let John hear you.